desire to learn about your salvation. I know that it comes from you. I know that it belongs to you. You are the author of it, the creator of it, the administer of it. You grant it to us. You give us grace to hold on to it, grace to endure. You seal us with it. You keep us steadfast in it. Even in some way from the foundation of the world, you set our names in your book. What a desire to have an understanding of the assurance of salvation. What does it mean for a man to know that he is saved? Just teach us about the importance of the evidence of bearing fruit, the evidence of desires changed, thoughts changed, actions changed. If salvation comes from you and belongs to you, and I pray you would grant us the understanding of the salvation as well, to go along with your gift. Is it simply a prayer to be repeated, or is it something more? Is it an agreement with a belief system, or is it something more? But as we lead others into the knowledge of you and into assurance of their own salvation, would you grant us the grace to understand what that even means? Let us not oversimplicate it, oversimplify it, or overcomplicate it. But let us discern and judge rightly. Let us divide your truth and share it rightly. The temptation just always exists for us to build up something for ourselves. Even a way to come to you. Because Jesus, You are the only way. You are the only gate. You are the only path. No one needs to come through our gate in order to get to the Father. And yet I fear this is what we do sometimes. As we seek our own assurances, and as we seek our own validation, but let all of that fall. Let all of the idols fall. Let us not set ourselves up in your place. But teach us how to counsel and how to disciple and how to be those who accurately reconcile others back to yourself, Father. I just pray for a greater understanding of the steps to salvation, of that work that only you can do, that work that only your spirit can do, the conviction leading to repentance, which is a turning away. And then a belief on your Son, His death and resurrection and new life. But there must be evidence. And there must be a personal assurance. It's not a stubbornness. No, it's not a stubbornness. It's not a willpower. It's not a finding a way to remember that it happened and believe that it happened. It's got to be more. It's got to be more. Because if there is no change, if there is no turning away, if there is no new heart, new mind, new desires, if there is no conforming our will to yours, if there is no becoming more like your Son, then what is this? What is this salvation? It can't be just adding something on to what we already have. It has to be a laying down, a turning aside, and then a picking up of your cross, picking up of your life. Don't let us grow complacent. Don't let us grow compromised simply in our pursuit to make things easier. Let us hold fast to your standards of truth. Because what could be worse than to deceive someone into thinking that they know you when they don't? To thinking that they are reconciled with you when they aren't. Lord, I pray that that would be something that none of us are guilty of. That when we give an account on that day before you, that those words won't be spoken about us. But we must be led rightly. We must be led by your Spirit. We must be able to see as you see. So right now there's so many pressures. So many pressures to make it easier, to not put up barriers, to make it comfortable, to make it known and sure, to make it able to be counted in that moment with a raising of a hand. But let not our standing before men, or our arrogance or our familiarity, let it not get in the way of your truth, of the work of your Spirit to regeneration. You are comfortable with your timing. You are comfortable with your drawing. You have no need to defend it before us. So let us live likewise. Let us not rush or hurry through the most important event of a person's life. But let us wait on you. Grant us the grace of your patience to wait on you until we have that assurance. Until we know the burden has been lifted. Until we know that you have heard. Your spirit brings life. And I desire for us that we are people of life, people of new life, not people of half life. And not people of death who think we have life. But those who walk in life, fully alive in you. Full of the light of men, which is you, Jesus. Because I desire that they would be saved. I desire that they would know you. And when they ask questions, I want to make it as simple as possible. I don't want to stand in the way, but I want it to be from you and you alone, not from my mouth. Not something that they're going to hold on to for a second, but that will fade and tarnish, that won't last. That in the day of trouble and suffering, that when they go to grab hold of it, it'll be gone like a vapor, because it's not of you. If it's of us, if it's of me, it won't last. But if it's of you, it is eternal. If it's of me, if it's of us, it's going to let us down when we need it most. But if it's of you, it will remain faithful. It will endure. It will last. Because you are faithful. Let us walk in the confidence of what this new life means. Once we know that we have it, let us walk with it. Let us walk in it and walk from it every moment of every day. Don't let us turn aside. Don't let us go back. Because we want your light to shine before men. We don't want to hide it. We don't want to cover it up. And we don't want to misrepresent you. So if there's anything in us that you need to prune, that you need to purge, that you need to burn, that you need to shake, I just pray that you would do that in your mercy. Conform us into your image. Make us more like you. What is my reputation? It's here and then it's gone. It doesn't matter. It's your name that will last. It's your name that will endure. And so we do all of this for your name's sake. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. The only one good. The only one worthy. And when I bring people into a salvation conversation, I want them to meet you. I want them to know you like I know you. Jesus. Amen.